Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the text. Throughout this Lenten season, we have turned our attention to the curses from Genesis chapter 3. And we have seen every difficulty, every sorrow, every loss can be directly traced to Adam. A couple weeks ago, I spoke to you about shame and nakedness. But we've seen from the times I've preached here and our visiting pastors, the struggle and toil of daily life, the pain of childbirth, everything that hurts or annoys you, it all comes from Adam. Back on Ash Wednesday, we began with the worst of all the curses, the curse of death. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. We hear those words again tonight. And again, we acknowledge that God is merciful. God's love for Adam did not diminish when sin became the reality. God made Adam to be perfect. Adam chose evil and suffered the consequences. And God's response to Adam is that his love for him would be made even more evident. The promise of the Savior is immediate, but the curses still stand. Justice demands that there is punishment for sin, and the wages of sin is death, and that does not change even with the promise of Christ. All of the curses that we have heard up to this point have been reversed by Christ. That's what he came to do. But we will not experience the full reality of that reversal until we experience the resurrection. Thorns and thistles will still grow, and we will be attending the funerals of the ones we love until Christ returns. But the final curse upon Adam, banishment, this one is a little different. Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden. It says God drove them out. Not only could they not eat of the tree of life and live forever, but they would be separated from God and would not have the immediate access to him that they once did. No longer would Adam walk with God in the garden, speak to him face to face. No sinful man may look upon the Lord and live. This is why Isaiah in the temple and Elijah in the cave had the experiences that they did when seeing God became an issue. Isaiah thinks he's going to die because he's seeing the Lord. And Elijah, wanting to see the face of Christ, instead hears the still, small voice. And that is where God allows him to be found, himself to be found. Now, it's often asked of me, why doesn't God just present himself to the world and prove to everyone that he is real? Well, part of the reason is that miracles, even God's continued presence of the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire and His voice coming from Mount Sinai and instances like that, it never changed hearts. Most of the time, it drove people away from God. That's not where faith is created. But there's also the aspect that the separation from God, it's part of the curse of sin. We don't get to see God face to face. Not the way Adam did before the fall. Just like thorns and thistles will grow until the last day, we cannot see the fullness of God until this life is ended. And we join with those who have come out of the great tribulation, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And then we will see him. Now, us not having immediate access to God, ironically, this should give us confidence. Last Sunday, as we do each time that we use the divine service setting for, the prayer of thanksgiving was spoken. It is said, in your righteous judgment, you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. You may say, this is a prayer of thanksgiving? But we pray and are thankful that in God's righteous judgment, you justly barred them and all their children from having what Adam had before. And yes, this should give us confidence. The prayer continues. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We are thankful. This is a prayer of thanksgiving, and we are thankful for both sides of the equation. As I said before, God following through on his curses, ironically, should give us confidence. If thorns and thistles disappeared from the world, I know many people would rejoice. But that would cause us to ponder, can man overcome sin? What if God started showing up, doing interviews on Fox News or talking to people directly? We would have to call into question the consistency and the unchangeable nature of God and his will. God doesn't just show up and start acting differently than he ever did before. Whenever, throughout history, if you look at the history of God's people, whenever someone came along and said, God is doing something that he's never done before and is totally out of his character, it tends to not be God. God following through on the curses of sin, it should give us confidence as we see thorns and thistles. Yeah, they're still around. We should have confidence that he will also follow through on the promises that he has made. Satan is a defeated and broken enemy whose head is firmly under the heel of Christ our Lord, just as God had promised it would be. Even the fact that death is in this world, it certainly does not bring us comfort, but it does remind us that there is a resurrection to follow, just as God has promised. Our eternal life, our hope is not in this world. It is Jesus who is the resurrection and the life. And even though we suffer the curses from Adam's fall, we can have confidence that we will enjoy the fruits of God's promises also. God is faithful in how he has said he will judge the world. He told Adam, if you eat of the fruit in the tree in the middle of the garden, you will surely die. Adam surely died. But God was merciful in that he allowed him to live for more than 900 years. And even more so, he was merciful that he had given him the promise of a Messiah who was to come. Because God is merciful. And we can be all the more confident that God will follow through on his promises. The second Adam has come, just as God said he would. And Jesus continues to come. We're going to experience that numerous times during the week ahead. There is a great promise that has been made, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We want an unchangeable, consistent God that follows through on what he says he is going to do, even if that means he's going to bring punishment. I said before that the reversal of the curse of banishment, it's a little different. All of the others only see their fulfillments when this life is over. And don't get me wrong, we don't get to see God face to face here on this earth. Not the way we will in eternity. However, when Christ came into this world, there was a generation that got to see God face to face. Because God became man, took on flesh, so that he could follow through on those promises that had been made long ago. Christ coming in the flesh has changed the whole dynamic of separation from God. He doesn't just come in the still small voice of his word. Now, he certainly is found there. But with Christ, he comes in the flesh. He appeared as the child of Mary. He grew in stature. He preached. He bled on the cross. He rose again. And he offers his body and his blood and his tangible presence to his people each and every time that we gather here at the Lord's table. And that is what we are preparing to receive this evening. We are preparing to see Christ. Throughout this Holy Week, we have opportunities again and again to see and participate in the flesh and blood of Christ. It is appropriate that we pray that prayer of thanksgiving. And yes, we acknowledge the sin of Adam, and we rejoice with the second Adam. And we conclude with that prayer, we give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.